This is ensemble member Alan Wilder, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
Hi, this is literary manager Joy Meads, and I'm here with our ensemble member Anna Shapiro, who's currently directing Bruce Norris's play A Parallelogram. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today.
Of course, of course.
Well, I just want to start out by talking about your relationship with Bruce. You've known him for many years now, haven't you?
Yeah, now many years, yeah.
When did you two first work together?
I worked on the commissioning program that he was a part of here when I first got here. So I can't remember the exact year. He's better at this, but it had to have been around 95 or 96. Mm-hmm. And then I directed a play of his. I don't remember if it was a year after or, you know, 2 years after. So it's been a long time.
And how many of his plays have you directed at this point?
It's so funny because I should be able to answer this question, but I always have to say that I have a number problem, so I honestly can't tell you. So I feel like I should have written it down on my hand because everyone's asking me that in interviews. So maybe five.
Okay, cool.
So around there. Yeah.
And what is it about his work that keeps you coming back?
You know, a huge part of your life as a director is in that rehearsal room. And before that, in a design process. So it's a lot of conversation. You know, you're always in a conversation. You're usually having to instigate that conversation. And you can really feel the difference when the material around which you are trying to make the discussion is fertile. And I think the thing about Bruce's work is that the conversations are never boring. You're never kind of trying to prop something up. You're never trying to look for the bigger meaning, because with Bruce, the bigger meaning is everywhere. And so being able to work on his stuff makes my life, literally my life, more lush. And I think the lives of the people that I get to work with, it's just lush.
Well, I found that reading his work as well. So speaking of those conversations, I'm going to ask you a terribly broad question right now, which is, what are some of the conversations that you guys have been having as you investigate A Parallelogram?
For Parallelogram, it's a really good question, because Parallelogram has in it all of the things that Bruce's plays usually have. There's certainly a political component, although it's probably a little more triangulated in terms of the way he's delivering that. It has people in it for whom language is important. They understand it as part of the construction of self. And I don't mean character. I literally mean of self. And then everyone kind of occupies that rhetoric.
And what's so lovely about the play is that I think your real-time experience as an audience is like you're carried along on the narrative of it somewhat seamlessly and then pulled up short from time to time in the things you assume.
I think that's right. You know? I think that's right. And I think that, you know, the device that he's using, like all, you know, great playwrights, and I think he's a great playwright, is simply metaphor for a way that we ourselves move through our impermanent, finite lives.
It's interesting to hear you talk about the play in this way, because, of course, one of the subjects that's important or salient in the play is the idea of time travel.
Right.
But as I was doing dramaturgical research in preparation for the play, I quickly found out that the most helpful thing that I could research to really illuminate time travel in the play wasn't so much the physics or the science underpinning it, but actually our cognitive experience of time.
That's right.
And how it shapes the experience of being human.
I think that's right. I think that's right. I mean, I think that is posited very quickly. And where it sits and how it plays itself out is the elusive thing. But it does, it's there kind of right away. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think that anyone who's ever had, like, for instance, a deeply tragic experience, there's something about the moment of the tragedy or the moment the information of the tragedy comes into your body, that I think your body almost stops motion so abruptly that your entire life, which has been trailing along behind you, mm-hmm. kind of smashes up against you, almost like a train that has stopped. And you know, the gravity or whatever the word would be, the forward motion, forces a kind of condenses. And you all of a sudden feel that tragedy's echo all the way back to the last moment that you can, or the first moment that you can remember. And I think everyone's had that experience. Mm-hmm. And
it's extraordinary. I think it's an exciting thing about this play is that I think it forces you into an understanding or thinking about your life in a level that's much more sophisticated than we are generally privileged to, to do in day-to-day life.
I think that's right.
We've talked about the fact that you have directed a number of Bruce's plays. Mm-hmm. The two most recent plays that of Bruce's that we've performed here at Steppenwolf have been The Pain and the Itch and The Unmentionables, both plays that I think the prevailing mood in them is kind of sharply satiric.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It feels to me, although that rapier-like wit is you know, certainly present in A Parallelogram, that the dominant mood in it is different than these most recent works of Bruce's that we've seen here at Steppenwolf. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how A Parallelogram is similar or different to most recent plays that our audiences may have seen.
Right. I think you're, first of all, I want to say I think you're exactly right. And Bruce speaks to that, you know, very well, that he feels like what he, I mean, and form is so huge, right? Mm-hmm. Because the form of satire.
Yeah.
You know, it frames the entire experience. It has in it a kind of inherent indictment, right?
Yeah,
I think that Unmentionables and Pain in the Itch were indicting. Why I feel Bruce does that so well is that I feel he'll hate this, but I feel he has a kind of essential compassion, and is interested in the way we are, doesn't just hate the way we are.
Yeah, I think one is never confused of the kind of spiritual necessity that these characters have for their delusional self-narratives.
That's right.
The way in which these narratives help to frame the world to be a very painful and harsh and confusing world to be one in which existence is palatable.
That's exactly right. They're navigational tools.
Yeah. When you first read A Parallelogram, what made you want to direct it? What are you most excited about this play?
Well, you know, the answer to the first question is, I have to be really honest, I can't imagine Bruce handing me a play and me saying I'm not interested. And I think I'm pretty discerning everywhere else. Everywhere else. But there's something about him and the work and what it brings to my life when I'm doing it that I don't want to say no. And in fact, I resent when they're all not written for me to do them. I find it, you know, disappointing, disheartening, painful. But this one is really hard. It's really hard. And it didn't feel like the same old trope. It didn't feel like, and I do think there's a point where it would, Bruce would probably be better served if he, when he's doing a certain kind, revisiting a certain kind of satire, to try it probably with somebody else, because I think he and I have a kind of shorthand around it. And one should always be wondering if that's the newest, best way to do the thing. But for me, it was like, man, will this thing even work, is what he said. And I remember him saying to me, gotta tell you, I don't know if it'll work. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the gauntlet being thrown. You know, because if I could say with confidence that I helped him make one of his plays work, that's all I really need.
It's an exciting challenge, because I feel like if the play does work, and I think it's going to work, I think it's an incredibly exciting piece, and I feel like the audience will actually go through the same experience as the main character. And I think that experience is profound, and I think it is frightening, and I think it causes us to, you know, look in corners that perhaps are easier best left unlooked into.
I think that's true. I think that's true.
You know, I think there are a lot of things that are unique about Bruce as a playwright, but one of the things that I think is the most exciting, and really, you know, you can't find anybody else who writes just in this way about Bruce's voice, is the tone of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The kind of, for lack of a better construction, aggressive, cutting, acerbic humanity of it.
That's very generous. I love that you say that. Tone is a big thing, and tone is the thing that we're, you know, talk about the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation between Bruce and I is always about tone, because, and you're right. I mean, you're very tuned into what's important to him, Joy, because how something is given is everything to him. To kind of efface what is expected mm-hmm. around the construction of a sentence, I think it's his favorite hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so very challenging, very challenging. But yeah, tone, we live and die by that with Bruce's plays. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see this production, and thanks so much for coming to talk to us today.
You're so welcome. Pleasure's mine.
If you would like to find out more about A Parallelogram or any of the rest of Steppenwolf's programming, please visit us on www.steppenwolf.org.